from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Schoke and the Bulldog.
How many bees is a swarm? Is two a swarm or three? Whatever. How many does it have to be?
And I feel like seven.
It's Mike Schoke.
How many times do you have to be stung to have been swarmed? And I was like, dude, I got swarmed. I got stung only once, but I was swarmed.
And the Bulldog.
You insist you were swarmed.
There were bees, man, like plural, big, lots of S's. Lots of E's and S's. Bees. That was not
bees.
Fun.
Bees.
Right. That was not fun.
On WGR.
Hey, man, that kind of hurt.
Sports Radio 550.
Happy Friday. Welcome back. Fantasy football draft season, I guess, is here. I'm not the one to ask.
Right.
Yeah. Is it ever not?
These kids are always hungry. That's you with drafts.
I haven't drafted a team today, I should tell you.
Well, it's early.
It is early, and it's my wife and I tonight. There's a chance I will not draft a team at all today. A good chance. Very likely, I would say. It's very unlikely I will draft a team today. Maybe tomorrow.
You're going to get home.
Tuesday, it's me and you.
She's going to have an errand to run or something.
No, we're going right out.
Make a okay. All right.
Tuesday, it's me and you.
Yeah, I know. Not you, me, and Adam, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Theo, you know that one? So Bulldog is venturing into our space Tuesday night for a deep end podcast Superflex draft. How do you think he'll do?
The worlds are colliding, Mike. It's yes. It's worlds colliding time. You got your fantasy side with the Bulldog coming through. I don't know. We'll see how the Bulldog does. Bulldog, how are you at fantasy?
I don't really. I do one draft a year with a league that's run by our Sabres beat reporter here and has been for many years. We've won the league and finished second a couple times. So we've been pretty successful. But
you've been good.
I'm not one to partake that often.
You know what he does, Theo, that I would give him credit for? I will be giving him credit right now for this. He trusts the technology.
Right. I use the app.
He's not so married to his player takes. How are you with that? This was easy for me. I'm not bragging by saying that. I had friends who were just like miffed because I'd show up with an app and sort of not every time, but usually defer to it. But of course, there are people who are strong on their player takes. And, you know, some people would say that makes the difference, right? Some blend of whatever you want to call it, the algorithm in your brain or something, knowing what you know about how to build a team properly. And I like this guy. I'm going to draft a lot of him or, you know, whatever.
I think that the apps can kind of help you a little bit if you're less experienced with structural drafting. I think it'll keep you kind of on track to show like a value-based approach where you'll understand whether, you know, going running back at this time or wide receiver at this time based on what the other members of your league have done already and the guys still left on the board. So I think there's some strength in those things. But, I mean, Mike, you know, like the higher you go up, the less edges you get with things like that. And a lot of it is going to be player takes. Not only the players that you like, but also the players like that you know you should be fading. I think like when you get to the really high levels of fantasy football like you play in, and like we'll see when we're out in Las Vegas in about a month, is guys will be fading. And sometimes you see these falling ADPs of a player that nobody wants because some sharp people are fading them, and then you've got to know at what point do those guys become a value. So I think it's little edges like that when you get towards the top. But yeah, I think those apps can help. There's a couple of them that are decent. So yeah, app away if you're feeling a little less confident.
Well, the biggest thing I've got now is a time crunch, Theo. This was supposed to be in August, but now it's going to be Tuesday, and mostly I'm not sure I'm going to have time to get all my special effects. I was really looking for it. The team that my son and I have in this league that's at work here has been called Tunsil's Gas Mask. That's the first year of the league, was the year that he was drafted and had the gas mask on draft day and all that. And if I get my hands on a gas mask, I think when we go live next Tuesday,
oh, baby,
me recreating that scene would be on brand. So I got to see if I can figure something out.
Yeah.
Maybe I can just get by with a snorkel and a diving mask.
Sorry,
a deep end first, Mike, for somebody to show up with a gas mask on.
Second.
Second, okay.
As it turns out. Well, the snorkel, I did that when I was on that show live from Maui. I had a snorkel,
oh, yeah, okay,
and a mask. But yes, Theo Grebinger, playerprofiler.com. I only want to talk strategy, but one more part of that is like when you're drafting a lot of teams. Say you think A.J. Brown is the number one wide receiver this year. You're not going to draft him 101, at least usually, because you know that like your so-called value, you're not getting value doing that. But like you're saying, when everybody's putting a couple grand on the table, then you might. And you do see that out there. Remember Dave Hubbard, who's a name you know, accomplished fantasy player. He was saying the whole time a couple years ago that 104 should be Diggs. Nobody was drafting Diggs at 104. Like he was 7 or 8 maybe. And he went out there and just picked him 104. Like, this is my money. It's the time of year where I'm not worried about portfolio and, you know, shares. I'm just, bam, this is who I like. And so, like you said already, Theo, by the time we get out there, that's what you're going to see.
Yeah, you see some really unique drafts when you get to the end. And I think people will try to exploit ADP. I mean, Mike, you know how it is. Like, when you're first drafting, it's a little bit more fluid. Like, when guys like you and Adam Krautwurst are drafting early on, and you guys are doing like those early June, late May ones, you're sort of setting the ADP. And then you sort of get to people coming into the out of the weeds, joining these August 1st. You know, I think August 1st is sort of the unofficial start to redraft for a lot of fantasy managers. And you'll see them sort of following ADP like it's a map. And it's going to create some bad values where guys just get sort of locked in to certain structural picks where certain guys always go off the board at the 109. You'll see maybe two wide receivers in a row for every time somebody's picking 12 and 13.
Yep.
And little things like that just start settling in. Then you'll see people at the end of the summer exploiting that and reaching for guys that should have been there all along.
One such name in that example would be Marvin Harrison Jr., who will go at that turn, pick 12, pick 13, quite often in these underdog drafts or even maybe at FFPC. Tight ends mean a little bit different there, so it can be a different board. But still, Harrison, this maybe happens most years where you have a rookie that people are super excited about, Bijan Robinson last year, kind of, and kind of just go in blind and pick the guy even as early as the first round. With Bijan, didn't really work out that great, but he's back up there this year. How about you and Harrison, Theo? Does he, for you, belong with Puka and Garrett Wilson, A.J. Brown, those guys, London?
So for me, I'm a little bit more comfortable taking him when I get him towards the end of the second round. And I was able to do that the other day in the Pros versus Joes FFPC draft. I started out with Ja'Marr Chase at the 6th spot, and then I followed up with Marvin Harrison Jr. I think he's fine there when you talk about the players like Drake London, like Chris Olave, those sort of players kind of going closer to Harrison, I mean, as they should be going closer to Harrison. But when you start talking about him versus those true alphas, the A.J. Browns, I'm not quite there. I would say I don't want to not have Marvin Harrison Jr. I'm a massive fan of his. I think when from a dynasty perspective, he's about as good as it gets. But right now, he's going off the board as wide receiver 9 overall. So, Mike, if he doesn't finish as a wide receiver 1 as a rookie, he's a failure at ADP. or even it could be a slight miss type deal. But
yep.
That's a little bit scary when you're taking on a rookie value. I think if you want to go looking for a potential value rookie pick, Malik Nabers is a guy where some people see that ADP and they say this is a little too high for a Giants wide receiver. But I think he's going to actually get more targets than Marvin Harrison Jr. You're able to get him around wide receiver 20 range. And I see that kind of as a floor for him based on how frequently he's going to be featured in this offense, not only at the wide receiver position, but just among all Giants skill position players. So obviously it's not as good an offense as Arizona. Maybe his touchdown outcome is lower than Marvin Harrison Jr., but I'm getting him like, in some drafts, Mike, two full rounds later.
You mentioned two of the top three, of the big three receivers from this year's draft. How do you feel about Adunze and then the rest of the class? Like, is there someone that's a little lower down that you think is a sneaky good value at this point? This could be cloaked as a Keon Coleman question if you want. But just in general, Adunze and then the rest of the rookie receivers.
Yeah, so I think it's okay for people to be excited about the rookie class in general. The NFL told us how excited they were about this rookie class with the just sheer numbers that went inside of the first round and then followed up by all those receivers in the beginning of the second round, including Keon Coleman. Adunze is interesting because we're able to actually get him at a huge value. You're talking about a guy who was the third wide receiver off the board, had exceptional NFL draft capital, in an offense that we think is going to be effective, especially passing the football, and you're able to get him way down in wide receiver four land. And the whole argument is DJ Moore and Keenan Allen are going to box him out, and I think drafters are a little bit scared of a Jaxon Smith-Njigba outcome where we saw last year. I know I was a little bit excited about Jaxon Smith-Njigba. He goes in the sixth round, and then he can't break through past Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, ends up being a bust at ADP. But Adunze, by all accounts, is a better prospect than JSN was, and he's attached to, I think, a better quarterback in Caleb Williams. It's a little bit similar to the CeeDee Lamb, Mike, if you remember when CeeDee Lamb was a rookie. CeeDee Lamb was people were worried about how many targets he could earn in that offense with Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup both coming off of strong seasons. Amari Cooper at the time was about the same as DJ Moore is right now in ADP. And Gallup was a guy that people were betting on as like maybe a high-end wide receiver three. CeeDee Lamb ended up not only making an impact, but he led Dallas in receiver production over the second half of the season, which is really what we want for fantasy managers, those guys peaking in the second half during the times we're in our fantasy playoffs. So for me, Adunze, it takes a little bit of structure because he wouldn't be a guy that I'd want to put in my starting lineup week one. But if you can survive the first, like, six games of the season, I think Adunze is a good enough player that over the second half of the year, he could put up a number of spike weeks and be helpful. And at the end of the day, Keenan Allen's old, and this is a new team for him. So Keenan Allen was fantastic last year, but father time is undefeated, especially when guys are in new situations. So I think Adunze is interesting. But again, it depends on the structure of your team. Don't go drafting him as, like, your wide receiver two, thinking that you've outsmarted everybody. But if I can draft him as like a wide receiver four, a guy I can put in my flex, I'm interested in that.
Yeah, really good. You never know. JSN was injured in the preseason last year, if you remember, too. I think it was against Dallas. And even a small thing like that, he wasn't out for so long. Maybe it was a wrist injury, Theo, but like just, man, for a rookie. And they didn't so much need him per se. And it can just end up being kind of a dead year. Got to pay close attention to the, you know, the camp reports and preseason injury stuff. It's a great point about how you're building your team. You know, if you've got sort of a couple of guys that are just a little bit safer, then you can go to that. I can't resist the rookies though.
Yeah, I love them too.
You know,
and it's been a big ADP wins over the years. Now you're paying up for them this year. But over the last few years, even when the guys steam up, they've still paid off at cost more times than not. If we went through the last four seasons and we listed like the top 10 rookies in each draft class by ADP and redraft, Mike, you're going to find a ton of wins, even with people being maybe a little bit more enthusiastic on rookie receivers. And I think the market's showing you that this year with what you're having to pay for Harrison Jr. and Neighbors. But you've had rookie wide receivers finish inside the top six scorers in PPR in three out of the last 4 years. So these guys are not only helping our fantasy teams, but they're challenging for like top five wide receiver numbers. Three out of 4 years now. So the guys are ready to play right away, and guys are making impacts right away.
Theo is backing this up. He mentioned the pros versus Joe's draft from the other night. Mine will be this Monday night with Adam on the deep end. He picked Harrison. You also picked Brian Thomas. You also picked A.D. Mitchell. You also picked Leggett in this draft, you know, playing against experts. So, you know, you're backing it up. You picked Allen and James Cook in consecutive rounds in that draft. I don't know if you got a Bills receiver. And I know we ask you this all the time, right? You come on and you've talked up Dalton Kincaid several times with us. Just any sort of updated position on how you see the Bills? I know this week with camp starting, there have been references to what Dawson Knox will be, you know, how much he'll play and what happened last year. The point was made, Theo, how like Kincaid's snaps went back down after Knox came back from an injury late last year, but his yards per target spiked up. So even if he didn't play as much, you got more out of it. That goes into the NFL postseason, too, where he had a big play or two. Anyway, we've got Coleman here, as Bulldog mentioned, Kincaid, the rest of it. What's your latest?
Yeah, I mean, so I'll say regards to the pros versus Joe's draft, it would have been Coleman versus Brian Thomas for me. And I just have maybe a little bit better vibes on Thomas at this point. I'm still optimistic on Coleman, but Brian Thomas, to me, has a pathway to the Calvin Ridley role last year. Ridley had 25 end zone targets, led the NFL.
Wow.
I think Thomas is sort of in that range of outcomes. He could do what Ridley did last year. So I slightly leaned him over Coleman. But regarding the Dalton Kincaid reports, I love every single time I hear positive reports from the Buffalo media on Dawson Knox and Mac Hollins and guys like that. Anything like Dalton Kincaid. It's not about him playing, you know, every single snap. It's about he's going to be targeted when he's on the field. And this is a guy where it's really hard for Buffalo not to heavily utilize him this year, even with Dawson Knox playing. And I would argue that I think they're going to be in two tight end sets often just based on the makeup of their wide receiver room. And Kincaid's a guy that I think they're going to move all over the field. So I'm very optimistic on Kincaid. Mike, we play a lot of FFPC. If you play tight end premium FFPC, then maybe Kincaid is a difficult one for you, a difficult click, so to speak, when you're drafting because you have to use that second round pick.
Yep.
I'm still fine taking him there. But when I look at like NFFC, if you look at Sleeper, if you look at Yahoo, any of the formats where they're non-tight end premium, you're able to get Dalton Kincaid as like a fifth round pick with potential where Kincaid could lead all tight ends in targets this year. That's absolutely in the range of outcomes. I think that, you know, we're talking about 130 targets from Josh Allen. I think that Kincaid's going to have a really, really strong year. And right now it doesn't cost me like a super, super premium pick to get him except in FFPC. So I'm still optimistic on him. I hope those reports continue all throughout the offseason.
Do we know an ADP on James Cook at this point, and would you consider him over or undervalued or just right?
So I think James Cook is just right on the value. The thing about James Cook that's interesting is this is a player who had 230 carries last year, and I think if I talk to you both after the NFL draft process, and Mike and I have gone back and forth on James Cook kind of for years, but if we would have talked right after the NFL draft and I would have said that this guy is going to have a 230 carry season in year two, you probably would have said, no way, he's too slight for that. That's sort of not what we expect with him. So I think the volume-wise was a big win for James Cook last year. James Cook just doesn't get carries inside of the five, and the touchdowns reflected that. But I would say that he was almost unlucky as a touchdown scorer. He only had two rushing touchdowns. I think that just by getting touches in what we think is going to be a top 10 NFL offense, that sort of touch level, I think James Cook's going to pay off at ADP. And what's funny is he finishes as an RB1 last year in year two, but now you're paying like right around like RB14 prices for him. So you're not having to pay up on a guy like that. I think there's a couple of drafters out there who are into like a Ray Davis as like an arbitrage play on James Cook. Maybe he won't hold up if he gets this sort of touch volume. But I think he's a safe bet for 50 receptions based on, again, all the changes you guys have had at wide receiver. And I think that James Cook is a guy that's already shown us he can give us an RB1 season. He's already shown us he can handle more volume than anticipated. And he's an explosive player. So for me, I think James Cook is a fine value. I took him in the fifth round. I think anytime you can get him late fourth or fifth round, he's fine. And I like pairing him with Josh Allen in best ball settings like underdog or FFPC. Because I think those guys are going to have a little bit more correlation in terms of like a quarterback-receiver combination. So I don't have to like pick the wide receivers on Buffalo. I don't have to pay the premium on a Kincaid. I can get James Cook and Allen. I think that's going to be beneficial.
Nobody works harder than Theo Greminger in the fantasy space. If you want a lot of content, Theo provides it. Theo G Fantasy or the OG Fantasy works either way. Say it how any way you want. At least I'm saying that, Theo. It's your moniker. Playerprofiler.com, and anything else you want to tell us?
No, that's it. You can find my written work at playerprofiler.com. I'm also doing some written work for The Athletic now.
Good.
And then, like Mike said, you can find me on Player Profiler YouTube, Player Profiler Podcast, everywhere you get your podcasts. And yeah, we're putting out multiple podcasts a week. I'm writing multiple articles a week. This is the heavy time of the season, but Mike, we love it.
We love it. That's definitely right. Thanks for your time today, Theo. See you soon.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
All right. Did you see the article today about Matt Eberflus at ESPN?
I don't think exactly, but I saw a tweet talking about he bought a new hairdryer?
Yes.
Okay.
Apparently the hairdryer.
Okay. I didn't know
Wouldn't there be one that everybody...
I didn't know there was a V hair dryer, but of course there is.
Right, there would be.
Sure.
The Dyson.
Mm.
It's over $400. I do not have one. That's going to surprise you. But I do not have a Dyson hair dryer. Why is anybody talking about this? We will tell you after sports. Did you see any of Bills camp this week? 803-0550 if you want to tell us what you thought of what you saw. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.